Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, last little good guy. I'm Branham, let's
just take that. Is that accurate?
Ryan the Brain behind the glass. So Joe hates Christian Pulisic. He thinks that not only should they strip him of the nickname Captain America, but he thinks they should strip him of his first name Christian because he is embarrassing to people.
That's not fair.
You said it. Your words.
Those are not my words.
I heard it too, Joe.
Okay. You know what? You're going to take shots? Next one on my list. You can't be a small, fragile person that gets hurt all the time and have the nickname Tank. Get rid of that.
Why are you getting mad at me?
I'm just pointing it out. Doesn't fit.
You're wearing a Houston Cougar.
I know I am. I wasn't going to bring it up.
Probably a bad day for that.
I put it on my list of if Jeremy comes at me, Tank Dell.
But his name is Tank because he had a big head as a baby.
Well, his head's a normal size now, so.
It is kind of
strip
normal.
Strip it.
Now. No.
Strip it.
What's his first name?
No idea.
You can't do it. You don't even know his first name.
No idea.
I think I forgot his first name.
Nathaniel.
No, it's Nathaniel. Yeah. It is Nathaniel, yeah.
Nate Dell. Give me Nate.
Nathaniel does sound more fragile.
He tells people not to call him that.
Nate?
Nathaniel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you call him Nate or just not Nathaniel?
No, neither.
His name's Tank.
His first name's Tank.
Oh, his name's Tank Dell.
His name's Tank Dell.
You can't really strip it because that's what he calls himself.
Because he had a big head as a baby.
Yeah.
Love that guy. That guy's awesome. Big fan of Tank Dell. He's going to have a huge year. He's going to bounce back. It's going to be incredible this season.
Hope so.
I can feel it in my plums.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Joe did not say that for the record. Players, teams that have nicknames, monikers that they do not deserve. 713-780-3776. Rocky agrees with you guys. The Sanchez didn't deserve the nickname. I like this one from this junkie. CP3 and the point god. My god wins a championship. Great call.
Yeah.
That is a great call. I co-signed that one, 9506. That might be the text of the day.
Where is he, like, I don't want to go through like a top 10, but where would you say rough guess he is amongst all point guards all time?
Top 20.
Okay. So, like, because I thought if you had said, like, top 5, I was like, well, okay, I guess he kind of still deserves it.
Oh, I don't think he's a top 5 point guard. No.
Okay.
I think a lot of people would.
I think because we live in the prisoner moment. Like, I would have John Stockton ahead
Magic
of him.
Magic Stockton or ahead of him.
I'd have Nash ahead of him.
Nash ahead of him,
Oscar
yeah.
Robertson.
Oscar, Big yeah. O. I'm not sure that Russell Westbrook's not greater than
yeah,
CP3.
Russell Westbrook has made a good argument.
Statistically, he is for
I would
sure.
Go, I would go.
You could say that he was a stat hound and wasn't as good a basketball player. Okay, that's an argument we can have. But it wouldn't annoy me if
would
people
you,
had Russ ahead of CP3.
Would you take Jason Kidd over CP3?
Yep. Probably would. Luka will be ahead of CP3 when it's all said
yeah,
and done.
Yeah, if you call him a point. I right. guess then you'd have to
is
call
SGA a point?
I guess
yeah.
you'd have
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
SGA
you'd
will
have
be ahead of him.
Harden a point, I guess.
Harden could be ahead of him if you like, consider Harden a point.
I'd say SGA is ahead of him.
Well, he needs to count. He needs to put some of the counting stats.
Yeah, he's got the MVP in the title.
SGA at his peak higher than yeah. CP3 at his peak, but SGA still has to put
yeah.
up the volume.
He does, yeah. Yeah, no, he's probably top 20.
Yeah, I don't think I think people overrate him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think people actually overrate this generation.
Then point god is a completely undeserved nickname, mm-hmm. Ben.
I think a lot of basketball fans are kind of young now. I feel like they lost a lot of their old fans, and maybe I'm completely off base here and completely wrong, but I feel like the NBA's lost a lot of old fans. I feel like they are geared to a lot of young fans.
Yeah.
So because there's a lot of young fans that outnumber the old fans when we discuss basketball and NBA, I feel like the young generation in the NBA is overrated more than any other sport.
Yeah, but I mean, it's crazy. Like I hear younger people talk about basketball, and when they talk about Chris Paul, I feel like I don't even hear about Lob City.
Right?
Like, they talk about the worst version of Chris Paul. Like, not even, like, if you're going to call him a top 5 point guard, you point to his time with the Hornets or whatever they were, and – or the Bobcats?
No, it was the
Bobcats
it was the
for
Hornets.
A year. He was never with Charlotte.
Right. He was a New Orleans Hornet.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, he's a Hornet and he's a Clipper. Like, that's the best version of CP3, and I feel like no one talks about that.
No.
They talk about Rockets and everything that's happened after.
Yeah.
Where he's not worthy of anywhere near a top 20. Like, I think he's starting to get disrespected.
I think that highlights my point
no, it does,
that
yeah.
like a lot of the NBA fans are incredibly young and they disrespect the older mm-hmm. generation. No way are you putting CP3 over Oscar Robertson.
No.
No chance.
No.
That'd be a disgrace. It'd be insulting. Yeah, that's my take anyways. I like this one a lot, too. This might be the text of the day. Caleb Williams trying to trademark Iceman.
He lost.
Great call. Yeah, but he tried.
Yeah, but he's still deserving the nickname.
He's not deserving of the nickname.
It belongs to two different people before him.
So do other nicknames.
Nah.
No one else is called Linsanity.
Because he threw one.
No one else is called Playoff P.
Because he threw one, like, crazy lucky touchdown pass in the postseason. He gets.
He can't take George Irvin's nickname.
We started calling him Iceman like week four.
Well, Chicago fans don't know ball. Like, they have disrespect for
Gervin. He doesn't deserve the trademark.
No.
The nickname's fine.
Taylor Mandridge was the incredible bulk, but was an incredible flop. XFL guy, he hate me now. I don't know. I think we still hate him.
Yeah, I think that's maybe a bad nickname, but it's like, not undeserved.
It would have been undeserved if he like donates to a bunch of charities now and he's right. Like a humanitarian. Like, that's the only way it would be undeserved.
Right.
If he's turned into this great, giant humanitarian. Yeah. That, like, you know, he volunteers at the hospital and stuff.
What about Nick Young getting Swaggy P?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I kind of like Swaggy P for Nick Young.
Maybe that's in the Kenny Trill thing where, like, Swaggy P is not a performance-based nickname.
It kind of depends on how he is off the court. Like, off the court, if he's, like, a cool dude, okay.
But yeah,
if he's,
maybe.
Like, you know.
Just the gif of him turning around, celebrating the basket, and then it bounces out.
I kind of like that.
Forever lives in my mind.
I think
mind.
That speaks to his swag, though.
Maybe. Maybe it does.
His unapologetic, incorrect swag. Jeremy Lin being called insanity. Linsanity even ended up being an average player. But I think it speaks to that moment. Those linemen had Letterman jackets as well. That was super cringe. That was actually before the Rock Boys. But yeah, that was cringe.
Yeah.
Letterman jacket. But they didn't have a nickname. I'd say Lights Out Brad Lidge lost it for a while before finally recovering. Yeah, that's kind of goes with, to a lesser extent, our Matt Harvey, Noah Syndergaard.
But he got it back, though.
But he got it back. And was mostly good in his career over bad. And plus, that's a great nickname for a closer.
Yeah, I think that's totally fine.
It's a great nickname for a closer, and then you throw in a little bit of alliteration there. That's really good.
Yeah.
Lights out Lidge. Another, better than 100 miles Giles.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Another Houston one I thought of. Well, not really a nickname for the player, but Steve Francis used to try to say Toyota Center was the house that Francis built.
Yeah.
I don't know if that falls into our nickname here, but... Not deserved.
I think it counts.
He had the franchise.
Yeah, I guess he did
but
that.
He kind of
well.
Was the franchise for a little bit.
For a team that won one playoff game in his tenure,
they weren't very good. But for a little bit, he was the franchise. After the Olajuwon days, he was the franchise. Totally wrong when Dwight Howard was called Superman. He was pretty dang good. He was pretty dang good, especially early in his career.
Yeah, I think Superman.
Didn't win the title as the guy, though. Can you be Superman?
But he got to the finals as a guy, beat LeBron when he was like 23.
Yeah,
but did he really get point. It once he did? Once he put the cape on
in
at the dunk contest?
Oh, the dunk Maybe contest. Not. That was a great dunk contest.
It was, but I feel like he kind of forced it.
Yeah, he never lived up to his hype.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of the same player throughout his entire career. Like, early in his career, it's like, okay, this guy's going to be one of the best center in the NBA for like a decade.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of stayed the same. He never really developed.
Yeah, he was just always, like, good at rebounding, could dunk.
Yeah, always a good player.
Yeah.
But never, like, yeah, this guy's...
No, it's like, it was going
to... People thought he was going to be an MVP.
Yeah, it's like he was going to be the next Shaq.
Yeah. He never turned into that. No. He was always a really good player. So maybe that's a bad one. Cordell / Stewart. I think that was totally fine.
Yeah, it was just meant he played multiple positions that he did.
And also, / isn't, like, this amazing moniker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's not...
It's not like an exclamation mark.
It's not good enough. Yeah, it's not good enough to be undeserving.
It just literally meant right? He played quarterback, wide receiver, running back, kick returner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it meant.
Ace Agetti.
Yeah, undeserving. Oh. Yeah. It's gotta go.
Who called him that?
Well, to be fair, that was idiots like us. That wasn't him.
That was just us having a little fun.
But removed.
Oops.
Undeserved.
Oops.
King Henry for Derrick Henry?
Disagree.
I disagree, too.
So deserved.
That's very deserved.
Especially in this town where he's run over the Texans for 4 years.
Eric the Buyer, the Dirty Bird Falcons, they played on AstroTurf and took showers after every game. That's so bad of a joke. It makes me laugh. The Arlington Cowboys are undeserving of the America's Team nickname, and this is coming from a fan. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit ago, Pete. We think it is deserving because they get eyeballs. They don't win, but they get eyeballs, so we think it's deserving. Better than Rod Strickland. Yeah, I would have CP3, I bet, ahead of Rod Strickland.
Same.
/ was the guitar player for Guns N' Roses. Yeah, but that's not how this was meant. They weren't calling Cordell Stewart / from Guns N' Roses. They were calling Cordell Stewart / because he's a quarterback / wide receiver / returner. They weren't calling him a member of a rock and roll band. 100 miles Giles fits. The ball always left the park over 100 miles per hour. I think it fits, too. I'm just saying Lights Out Lidge was a better nickname than 100 miles Giles. Plus, we don't like 100 miles Giles because he was a bum. 7-1. Not reading that one. White chocolate.
Oh, that's so deserved.
I think it was fine. Yeah, for Jason Williams, it was fine.
Johnny Manziel is Johnny Football.
He had multiple.
College Johnny Manziel deserves the nickname.
Yeah, I mean, money, ooh, I thought is more fitting because the celebration.
If we're going to take a money name away from an athlete, I think given recent court struggles, it's Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, it's pretty
great
good.
Great call.
Yeah.
He has no money.
He's got to lose it.
But to defend Floyd Mayweather for a second.
He made a lot.
He drew better than anybody.
For sure.
So I think that it fits, but he can't handle money.
Yeah, but he lost a lot of it.
Floyd has no
all
more
of it.
Money, Mayweather.
Yeah. Speaking of moneymakers, McGregor fights on Saturday.
Crazy. Not USA is not playing. I guess they would have played on Friday. But.
Yeah. It was Friday.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. It's going to be kind of fun. I think he's going to be crushed.
That's why I'm not excited. Like, I'm going to watch it, and I'm hoping for a McGregor win. I have no, like, belief it's actually going to happen,
though. Someone said Kwame Brown, the chosen one. I don't remember that one. That nickname. The big fundamental. No, that was deserving. Tim Duncan was very fundamental.
Yeah, he threw up big shots.
He was the most fundamental big man of all time.
Yeah.
He was the big basic. All right, 713-780-ESP. Let's get into the Astros game last night. They lost to the Nats, scored 11 runs, couldn't win.
My top note from
yesterday's game right here in our rundown, Mike Burrows needs to be sent down today. If you haven't heard the news, Mike Burrows has been sent down today.
Boom, there we go. Persanta, Jeremy Branham's right.
Has taken his spot. Yeah, I am right about that, by the way. Let's talk about yesterday's game. An inning that really stuck in my – it really annoyed me. I was very disappointed. And also some weird things with this offense. Like Bryce Matthews, why does he suck at home? Yiner Diaz as well. Maybe he deserves to play a little bit more than he's currently playing. We'll discuss all that next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Astro, it was a disappointing night in sports yesterday, huh? Our country loses on the pitch. Our baseball team that we follow in the city scored 11 runs and lost a game. That's just unacceptable. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but I'm going to say it's unacceptable when you score 11 runs and you lose a game.
Dynamite drop in money. Yeah,
that's what I'm here for. Now, obviously, the story of this game is that Mike Burrow sucks. He is really, really bad. And to prove it, the Astros are like, yeah, you can go spend some time in Sugar Land. Mike Burrow's line yesterday, this is mind-blowing. 4 1/3, 9 hits, 10 runs, 7 earned, walks 2, strikes out 3, gives up 2 home runs. Absolute terrible performance. After he was spotted, guys, he was spotted with a 6-1 lead going into the third.
Mm-hmm.
That lead did not get out of the third. It was tied by the end of the third inning. Lousy. 6 runs for the Nats in the sixth. That would be enough. Astros fought back. They were chased the fight, but never could get over the top. Couldn't survive this poor outing by Mike Burrows, who has since been demoted today.
You know what they say about his outing yesterday? He's throwing meatballs.
He was throwing meatballs.
throwing a bunch of meatballs.
How about the meatballs? He's just throwing meatball Mike is what they call him, actually.
What time, man?
They call him Meatball Mike.
Incredible.
which if you're going to get meatballs, I would highly recommend Federal American
For sure,
Grill.
And not from Mike
How about
Burrows.
The meatballs? That's where Mike needs to go, because he's coming back to Houston. He could go to any one of their six locations.
Like, I can throw them, you can cook them.
Yes.
Great sponsorship opportunity. Now, they probably don't want him to represent their brand right now.
You buy, we fry. That used to be a fish company out there.
He sucks.
He's really bad.
He sucks, man.
You know what annoyed me, too, is I saw...
My favorite is what happened to Mike Burrows from people. And I'm like, you don't know
he's
anything.
He's never
about
been good.
This. Like, you don't know anything about this guy.
This one from Swabby an hour ago. That's I fully funny. Expect Burrows to figure it out in AAA.
Based
I just
on
don't know if it's this year or not. I think he'll be back in the bigs at some point. His changeup is too good, which, by the way, he's called, Michael Schwab, has called Mike Burrows' changeup one of the best pitches in baseball. What? But until he figures out his fastball, he needs to stay in AAA. Now, his fastball thing is a good point. Here's the thing. I don't care how good Mike Burrow's changeup is. Obviously, the better, the better. But if you have nothing that you can throw off of your changeup or to set up your changeup, you have no chance.
It's useless.
Whenever your fastball is the worst pitch in baseball, I don't care if his changeup actually is the best pitch in baseball. Because if you don't have anything else that can support your changeup, you're toast. You're dead meat. You're going to have an ERA of 6. You're going to lead the world in home runs given up. That's why his nickname is Meatball Mike. Mm-hmm. He's terrible. His fastball is brutal. He doesn't throw his sinker to lefties. His sinker's no good either. Like, people are like, well, he needs to just throw his sinker more. Get rid of the four-seam and throw his sinker. His sinker numbers are just as bad. Just as bad. So I don't know how they're going to fix Burrows. Like, he doesn't have to be a good fastball because his changeup is really good. But if other hitters do not respect your heater and your heater's getting demolished, you can't pitch at the big league level. Like, that's what it's going to take for Burrows to be back up in the bigs, is that he's going to – probably two things. But the first thing is he needs to have a fastball – whether it's a four-seamer, whether it's a sinker, that the opposing team is going to respect. He's going to have to be able to throw it for strikes. Yep. His slider's probably going to need to be a pitch that he can land to get ahead of the count. Because that changeup, if you have nothing else, is useless. It is worthless. And if you're throwing your changeup to try to get ahead of a count, okay, well, more looks at it for a hitter. And then also, what good is a changeup when you're behind in the count 2-0? What are hitters going to do whenever they see that sick changeup on 2-0? They're either going to spit on it and take it for a strike, even if it's in the zone, or if it's out of the zone, it's ball 3. It's 3-0, or they swing and miss. Oh, well, it's 2-1. Like, he's a bad pitcher. Yeah. He's not good. And he wasn't that good last year either.
No, but that's like based on what you think he's going to be good. Like, because
he's got one plus pitch.
It's his one start against the Astros. People watched and they're like, yep, he's in spring training. Like, that's what we're basing, like, that's what people are basing off. He's going to be good again. It's not real baseball. It's one good start, and it's fake baseball.
I think you're disrespecting his 2025 slightly.
But, like, it's...
It wasn't one good start.
No, but I think...
He had a sub-4 ERA last year.
Yeah, just, like, it's
in 19 starts. Like, a small-ish sample, but it's not nothing. It was more than one start.
But, like, this year, I mean, it's the splits are... The home runs are starting to catch up from righties, too. He's got 21 home runs this year, 14 to lefties, 7 to righties. He's given up 46 earned runs to left-handed hitters this year.
People got mad whenever I said this is why the Pirates traded him.
You are 100% right.
And people got mad at me. Well, like, I mean, if the Pirates liked a young pitcher, they wouldn't have traded him no matter how many plus pitchers they have.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the Pirates got rid of a guy with, what, 4 years of team control left?
Yeah.
5 years
no,
of team
he's
control?
Got, I think he's still got 6.
Right. Like, when were the Pirates one of the cheapest organizations in all of sports, much less Major League Baseball, get rid of a player they thought was good with that much team control left?
Yeah.
They wouldn't do it. Especially since they didn't get a major haul from as far as prospects.
They got a reliever and an athletic outfielder who can't make it to the bigs. Well, it was a three-way trade. They did get low.
Yeah, they got low.
And Low can play a little bit. He can hit a little bit. I would have just rather got Low.
Yeah, same.
Like, that's the people
that was upset, the name we talked about before.
Like, the I don't care who they gave up. Like, they Melton's a fine player, but I feel like they have two Jacob Meltons and Joey Loperfido and Zach Cole. Like, they have similar players in that thing. I forget the arm that they gave up. Blanking on his name. Anderson, Brito. Was it Brito? I think it was Brito. Like, the water thing. Anderson Brito? Something Brito. But I don't even think he's made it to the bigs. The loss of that trade was that you didn't get Low. Like, that would have been something that could have really helped you. Like, a guy who's capable of playing left field. Mm-hmm. That has actually had a good year with the Pirates. That's the loss, is that you didn't get him.
Yeah, that should have been the trade. You try to get him and give up Melton and them just for him.
Yeah.
And that fixes your left field problem right now. Instead of having to, again, go out and try to trade for one at the deadline, which they will not do, I'm guessing. But they'll say they tried.
Yeah, he's bad.
But no, Burrows is...
He's a bad baseball player.
This is the right decision to send him down. There's a lot of baseball left still. But you've got a big series coming up this weekend in which you can go into the All-Star break if you play well in the rest of this series and then against the Rangers specifically in a wild card spot. Like, you're a game and a half back right now.
Oh, they're fine in the standings.
But, like, I'm not pitching him in meaningful baseball games.
No, he's going to have to go prove it.
You're trying to win baseball games now. You've set your team up for success to make the playoffs in 2026. He shouldn't be on the roster. And even if he's good in the minors, like, I'm hesitant to, like, really give him a shot until rosters expand if you want to go back to a six-man rotation.
I mean, even rosters expand, you only get one extra pitcher spot.
And it's probably – so it's a bullpen guy. Like, it's not him.
Yeah, it depends on how you use it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to – they're going to have a need for pitching. He's going to have to be pitching well for him to be called back up, IMO. Who won the three-team trade, Rays, Astros, or Pirates? I think we kind of indirectly answered it. I like the Pirates side of it if we're talking today.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really done anything for them from big picture, but like he's why they were good earlier in the season.
But of the three teams, I'd rather have their return.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, he's a free agent at the end of the year, I think.
Yeah, it'd be a rental. The outfielder's not bad, though, but he's more of a fourth outfielder, and you have a ton of them.
Yeah.
What blame does the Espada have if he keeps going back to the same well with Burrows? He's got to be the manager and make that decision and not keep putting them on the mound. I think it's more of the GM's decision. Like, here's your roster. You do with it what you will. But also, like, he's going to start games for you. I think that's more Dana Brown than it is Joe Espada.
If you were going to be critical of Espada, like, would it be he should have been out there for the fourth?
You could say that he could have taken him out earlier. But it's also, like, the big picture approach of, like, hey, we, like, need him to eat innings. Mm-hmm. You did have guys that were unavailable yesterday, too, because, like, Hader was back-to-back, and then King was back-to-back, yep. Maybe one more, too. So if you're going six-man rotation, you have three guys down. That's nine pitchers. You only have four relievers. So you kind of need length.
Yeah.
So, like, in a perfect world, does he go to blue ball sooner? Yeah, probably. But do you understand where Espada is coming from there? Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I don't really put a whole lot of blame on Espada for keeping Burrows in the game. And I'm not putting any blame on Espada for having him as part of the rotation. That's a decision that's bigger than him.
Yeah, that's
the front office is setting the rotation.
Yeah, that's Dan Brown's fault.
Yeah.
Same. That's his decision to keep him on this roster.
Now, like, should you have sent Burrows down prior to yesterday? I'm not so sure. I don't think so. I think this was the appropriate time. His last two starts ago against Toronto, was the six innings of one-run baseball, two hits. You're not sitting him down after that. And then his most recent start on the 30th, four runs, five innings. Okay, probably not worth sending him down for that either. But then after last night's outing, absolutely. So I don't know if they... I don't know if they necessarily mistimed his demotion either.
Yeah, and probably the argument goes back to when he had three starts in a row where he gave up 5, 4, and 4, and then they put him in the piggyback situation, which ended up only being one inning. Like, you could have said, like, he could have just gone down then, but also...
But the scenario was different.
Yes.
You didn't have the starters then that you do now.
Yeah, you needed the bodies. Because you chose to send Kaiway down, which is, I think... Probably still the right decision.
And we found out later he had a knee that landed him on the IL.
Yeah.
So he might not have been an option, period.
So Burrows was kind of here by force.
Yeah, I don't think that this is the timing of it's poor.
Yeah, you've got the bodies now, send him down.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be interesting to see who starts on Sunday. Brian McTaggart tweeted that Petco might get that start Sunday, which I really don't get. Like, it's not a Talis Hill I'm going to die on, because I'd be kind of excited to see him, actually. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense that he would start that game, and then you get McCullers back, you get Blanco back, you're getting Wesneski at some point back in the next month or so. Like, it doesn't feel like it's necessary to do that, especially the day before the break, whenever you would have some guys on full rest, and then also you could just totally go bullpen day. It doesn't make sense to all of a sudden add him to the 40-man roster, mm-hmm. which, you know, you can always create space on the 40. It's never as big a deal as people are saying. I just don't know if it's really worth it.
Yeah, because you got to cut someone for your 40-man roster, though.
You might have an injury that you can transfer to the 60-day. I'd have to go look at it.
Yeah.
But still, like, what's the purpose?
Like, the only purpose I can see...
Four innings of Petco?
The only purpose I can see is what they did 2 years ago, where Jake Bloss came up, they pushed him through because Dana Brown liked to. In reality, it kind of felt like that was a showcase. He made, what, two starts with the Astros?
I think you're onto something about Dana Brown showcasing his guys. Because even, like, the Myers and, like, Bryce Matthews had a good game yesterday. We'll get to that in a second. Like, that was – it could go either way.
Yeah.
Picked his guy.
But, like, Petco comes up. He has a great performance on Sunday. Deadline is 3 weeks away. You either get to see what he's got in the bigs. Or, like, it can be a showcase. Because like, that's what I feel like Bloss was.
But how many – but Bloss had multiple starts. Petco's going to be one game, and then he's back to the minors.
Unless they decide just to find a way. I mean, like,
how are you?
It's complicated.
How is he going to be in the rotation whenever Lance McCullers and Renel Blanco both project to be on the big league team after the All-Star break?
Yeah, it would feel strange to put him in the 40-man roster for one start and then send him back down. Where it's like, I feel like if you're going to bring up a Bloss, got three starts.
He would need, like, if that's the plan,
yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to bring up Petco. He's going to start on Sunday. Then after the break, we're going to give him two more starts. And then whether you trade him or whether he's just here based on performance, okay, that's fine. Like, runway makes sense. But it feels unnecessary to me that you would have him start a game before the All-Star break when it's easier to tax the bullpen for four innings, five innings if he pitches well. And then immediately back down to the minor leagues, and we don't sniff him again until next year.
Yeah,
it would that to me seems unnecessary.
It would be strange. That's why I don't think they're going to do that.
It just feels like Dana said it.
It's like, but like, it feels like if he comes up, it's just he's going to be here.
I could live with that.
Yeah.
I just don't know the math in that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, how they make it work.
Yeah.
Unless, like, could he be a bullpen arm?
I don't think so. Why would you want him to be a bullpen arm?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Like,
it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I was surprised, like, that we saw Dana Brown mention him by name to the media, and then McTaggart tweet out those quotes. Like, I did not think. We got the Burrow news. It's like, okay, you have Blanco, you have McCullers, you have Javier on this roster.
He's, what do they say? He's a traditional reliever.
Traditional reliever, but you could quickly pivot with Burrows being sent down.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's three options there, and then I wasn't expecting Pecco to also be part of that.
I mean, he might just be talking. Yeah, Dana just does that at times, right?
Yes, he just talks. But like,
Dana at times just talks.
It's kind of a weird thing just to talk about. Like, yeah, we might bring up the guy who was our, you know, minor league pitcher of the month.
Yeah, but he says some weird stuff all the time.
I know he does, but I
mean, what? I mean, what? The lies that Dana's had are vast.
Yeah, I just like, if I was like, it doesn't really matter, of course. Like, if I was Petco, like, I'd be annoyed. If, like, it's like, oh, I might come up, and then it's like, just kidding, you're not. Like, I don't think
he, I would like to know if he said there's any, like, perfunctory Dana. If he said it was some perfunctory, okay, it's likely that Dana could be back. But if he said, if he lacked perfunctory whenever he said it, eh. I would like to know the perfunctory that he had when he mentioned Petco's name.
I would, too. I also like to know what that word means.
Well, University of Houston.
Yeah.
They teach you more than your trade school. 713-780-ESPN. Rocky, no matter what the Astros do at this point, unless they make a trade and get some significant pieces, they're just rearranging the decks on the Titanic. I mean, I don't think anybody looks at the Astros like a Titanic, you know? I don't think anybody's like, look at that great ship, the best ship ever made, you know? They're more like the Santa Maria, I think, the Astros.
I'm glad you're confused too, Brian.
Santa what?
Santa Maria.
Oh, okay. That's one of the ships that Columbus took over.
Oh. Yeah.
Like the Titanic, whenever they like unveiled the Titanic, it was like, we're building the greatest thing that's ever going to be on the sea. We're building like,
but that's, you know, what the Astros mansion. Were.
I don't think anybody looks at the Astros as the Titanic in 2000.
That would mean they would be World Series favorites.
Like, they were like the Titanic. They've been the Titanic until they hit the iceberg. And the iceberg is when they got knocked out of the playoffs by the Tigers.
Well, that would mean they're at the bottom of the ocean.
Then
right
why
now.
Would they be rearranging the deck of the Titanic after they hit the iceberg?
Great question.
They'd have to have the Rockies record.
I think it's a bad comparison. I don't think the Astros are viewed as the
boat
Titanic.
Hasn't split in half yet.
That's a long sinking.
Yeah.
Like, what was her name?
Sinking for 3 years.
Yeah, we're not.
What was the name of the movie? What was the lady's name on the movie?
Rose?
Rose, yeah.
Rose, yeah. This is like Rose on the piece of wood,
she's
and she doesn't
let
Leonardo on.
Yeah, she sucks.
Which
scumbag.
People have like relived like how much space there could be on that piece of wood.
Yeah, Mythbusters did an episode on it.
It was like three, you could put like four or five people on them.
Yeah.
And she was like, nope, I'm good. Leo, you
selfish.
You stay here in the ocean.
I think she just dropped that big ass rock into the ocean at the end of the movie. What are we doing?
I know. Bad decision. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to some of this other stuff in the game yesterday. There was an inning in particular that drove me crazy. Also, why does Bryce Matthews suck at home, and why is he good on the road? I mean this sincerely. I don't want wrong answers. I want your actual guesses. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, 713-780-ESPN. So the fifth inning's what annoyed me yesterday. You get the error on Shoemaker, then a bang-bang play with two outs at first base, which is originally called an out, by the way. And I think a better defender at second base probably makes the play. Hosey was a little slow coming in on it. And then the grand slam. Really annoyed me. The fifth inning, really. It's where you lost the game. And James Wood is a freak, by the way.
Yeah, he smashes home runs.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
That pitch that he hit was like half of the strike zone out of the plate up.
Yeah, he just, when he hits a hold of him.
He hits it a long way.
A long way.
He hits it a long way.
Yeah.
So why does Bryce Matthews suck at home but is really good on the road?
Batter's eye. The pressure of playing at home. Local kid. Can't take the heat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So if you look at Bryce Matthews this year at home, he is hitting 106 with a 315 OPS.
That's awesome.
He's one of the worst hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
If you look, and that's 37 games. It's 87 plate appearances. That's a decent sample. It's not 13 games, you know. It's not 13 at-bats. On the road, 40 games, 28 starts, 128 plate appearances, which I think is also telling, too. The fact that he has 41 more plate appearances on the road than at home, that is telling to me. That is Joe Espada saying, okay, we recognize that he's not good at home. We're going to play him more on the road, right? I mean, that's a difference of six starts and 41 at-bats, 41 plate appearances. He has 87 plate appearances at home. He has 128 away. He's got a difference of 41 plate appearances between home and away games. I think that is recognition from the manager saying, yeah, this kid doesn't hit well at home. Let's give him a runway on the road where he's hitting 265 with a 785 OPS, but at home he's 106 average with a 315 OPS. Why does Bryce Matthews stink at home?
It makes no sense. But it's the same thing when you look at Christian Walker's numbers from last year. Like, they don't talk about the batter's eye anymore, but, like, it's the only excuse I can think of. It's the only logical thing of why you've had these dramatic offensive numbers for teams when you go back to the World Series a couple years ago. Like, it was much better on the road than it was at home a lot of the times when the batter's eye was really being... I guess it was the year before they won the World Series in 2021 when it was, like, really a hot topic, because when they won the World Series was the first time we found out that they painted it in some way. I don't know what else it could be. Like, it's just unfortunate luck of he's just faced better guys at home. Like, it's matchup-based. I can't imagine it's that extreme. Where you're catching all the bums on the road and not here in Houston.
Yeah, I'd like to see the data on that. Like, what is the what's the ERA of pitchers he's faced at home versus pitchers he's faced on the road? I think there's a lot of things that are plausible. Somebody was in my comments earlier saying the BABIP. Okay, yeah, that's a fair point. Sometimes BABIP can lead to, you know, skews like that for Bryce Matthews. Which Bryce Matthews, if you look at the home road splits, his average for balls in play this season are 146 at home. They're 333 on the road. Okay, that's a significant difference. My counterpoint to that, though, on why I think this is real and not a coincidence, is that Bryce Matthews has more strikeouts at home than he does on the road, despite having 41 more plate appearances on the road.
Yeah, that's the number that matters.
He has 35 strikeouts and 85 home at-bats. He has 34 strikeouts and 113 road at-bats. So I think that there's three things that are all probably contributing in some way. What's the lead variable? I don't know. It's probably up for interpretation. And without having a real conversation with Bryce Matthews, we really have no way of knowing. Look, I think sometimes kids do have pressure playing at home. Like, you got the extra obligation. Sometimes you get on the road, you get rid of, you know, get away from the obligation. You feel more comfortable, maybe more comfort leads to, you know, better chance of putting the ball in play, having better offensive production. Sometimes I don't really think that's real. I do think it's real. The other thing, you brought up the Christian Walker point, which if you ask Dana Brown, he felt like Christian Walker got a little pool happy at home because of the Crawford boxes and left. Okay, I could see that happening to a young player. Like, I got power. I want to take advantage of the short porch. I'm going to try to pull everything. And trying to pull everything takes you away from your approach, takes you away from your swing. I think that is possible. And then I also think the batter's eye is possible. Because what do you remember hearing about the batter's eye and when it impacted hitters?
Was it from it was from lefties, right?
Lefties.
Yeah.
It was from lefties. When does Bryce Matthews mostly play?
Versus
lefties.
Yeah. Like, it sounds like such a terrible excuse. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, it could be psychological, but even then, like, especially if it's just, like, if it's going so bad, like, maybe it's hard to break out of it. But I feel like a lot of times in baseball, we see that continue no matter where you're playing. Like, it would be weird to me to be like, so struggle mentally at home, and then be like, as soon as you get on a plane and you stay in a hotel, that you're okay. Like, that doesn't add up to me. When players are bad and they're struggling and they can't figure it out, they're just kind of bad everywhere, or they're just kind of good everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, these extreme splits, I think the pulling the ball too much? Because, like, we know he can smoke baseballs.
He can. He's like, the ball far.
He's crushed home runs this year. Could it be an approach thing? Like, is there any chance they're trying to tell all these guys to pull the ball to the Crawford boxes?
No.
Like, it's an intentional
No, they wouldn't
thing.
Want that. No, they wouldn't want their hitters yeah. to do that. No. Kinger says it's not the batter's eye. In fact, he thinks it's comical that it's the batter's eye. I think it's in play. He says it's not that. It's psychological. I think psychological is in play, too. I think that could be it. I remember his road splits, home splits in the minors was also very egregious. But remember in the minors, it was like, well, he's in the PCL. Whenever you go on the road, you're playing at altitude, the ball travels. You're going to put up huge numbers, which at home, Constellation Field kind of plays as a pitcher's park. So that was like kind of the reasoning behind his home road splits at AAA. You go back to last year, which last year, very, very small sample. Last year, he started 5 games at home, 18 plate appearances. He started 6 games on the road, 29 plate appearances. But it was also there. Mm-hmm. In those 18 plate appearances last year, he had an .056 average at home, .111 OPS. On the road, in 6 games, 29 plate appearances. Now, he did have that big like home run game in Arizona, multiple home run game in Arizona. So it inflates the numbers a bit. But still, .250 average and OPS over 1,000 on the road. And he struck out less in more at-bats.
He struck out 12 times in 18 plate appearances at home last year.
And see, that's where I kind of get lost in the psychological part. Yeah. Unless you're saying the psychological part is he's trying to pull it. And because he's trying to pull it, he loses the contact rate, which is in play. I'm not arguing that. I think it's in play. But that's when I start to think it's more about picking up the baseball. Like, whenever your strikeout rates are higher at home than the road, mm-hmm. why is that the case? Is it because you're trying to pull the ball? Possible, or is it because you're having difficulty picking up the baseball? And then on top of that, Joe, Bryce Matthews has started 6 more games on the road and has had 41 more plate appearances on the road. What does that tell you about the manager? The manager is selecting him more in road games than home games, so the manager is recognizing the troubles. The manager is telling you it's not a fluke.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, that's, like, unless it's just, that's dumb luck. That the only other explanation for that would be you're just catching more lefties on the road. But that's why he ends up having more starts. But it most likely means what you're saying is that the manager recognizes that this is a problem.
41 more plate appearances, though.
Yeah, like we're like it's a pretty large number, and that's why. Like, I think he still is deserving of the runway because of what he can do with the power, and like the road numbers tell you that like there can be a pretty good baseball player in there, like not very good, but like he can be pretty solid. For this Astros team, it's just he's also unusable at home right now.
He's unusable at home. He's like, unusable. I mean, in his career, last year, this year, he has 34 games started, 157 plate appearances on the road, which that's a quarter of a season-ish. It's a quarter of a season. So a smallish sample, but not, nothing. 157 plate appearances is a quarter of a season. Quarter of a season is significant. He's got a .263 average with an .837 OPS playing some of the best defensive center field in baseball this year. Mm-hmm. Like, if he could be who he is on the road, which he's clearly not, but if he's a .263 hitter with an .837 OPS and he's playing his defensive center field that he's capable of playing,
he might be an all-star.
He's a top 10 center fielder in baseball.
Yeah.
But the problem is, in his career, 105 plate appearances at home, he's hitting under 100. Yeah. With an OPS under 300. He is the worst player in baseball at home, and he's a top 10 center fielder in baseball on the road. It makes zero sense.
Yeah, and that's where, like, I get, like, people, like, think the batter's eye thing. I get the pushback. It sounds stupid. But if for whatever reason he can't pick up the ball at home, like, I struggle to think it's all psychological. Like, it's probably an all-of-the-above answer. But if I had to guess, it's probably more of the circumstances at home for whatever reason he's struggling more.
I mean, it could be the psychology. It could be the batter's eye. I think both of those are the more likely answers of any other possibility. What would you rather it be? As someone that roots for Bryce Matthews, that roots for the Astros, would you rather it be psychological? Or would you rather it be that he has trouble picking up the baseball at home?
I'd rather it be he struggles to pick up the baseball at home.
Okay, I'm the opposite. I think it's easier to fix the psychology part than it is the picking up the baseball at home.
I'm going to take the positive of Christian Walker and say that they can find a way to fix that. And I know his was more pulling versus batter's eye.
Well, that would help my case.
Like, because I think they can. It's I don't. Maybe not. Maybe they can't fix it. Like, they're not going to change the batter's eye again for Bryce Matthews if that's what the issue is. I mean,
they might if it was Jordan. Different.
They've changed it three times already since this came up the first time.
The fact that Espada plays more on the road, way more on the road. The fact that we know that the batter's eye would give hitters trouble against tough lefties, and we know that Bryce Matthews faces primarily lefties.
Yeah, and then if it's psychological, like the problem would eventually become that if this continues, it's going to be unbreakable or unfixable. Like at some point, it's going to be in his head so much that it'll never be okay.
Yeah,
like that's one where like you need it to turn around at some point early in his career at Daikin Park for him to like fully be able to figure it out and get out of these issues or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's tough. All right, 713-780-3776. What's the reason for you? Also, the Astros apparently could be in on Tarek Skubal. Nightingale reported. Actually, stole my story. I had it a month ago. But I think the Astros do have enough to get Skubal. Because there's that narrative out there, Joe. Oh, the Astros don't have enough. They don't have enough to get Skubal. I think that they do. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. If you qualify, you can get payments for as low as $400 a month, when the average car payment right now is over $800. So you're saving half your car payment. You're not locked into this thing long-term. You only have a lease for 3 years. So instead of dealing with negative equity and just having these high car payments and wanting to get rid of it, but you still owe a bunch of money on your car, you get a new lease vehicle in 3 years. You can see your full list of their inventory at dmautoleasing.com. And you give them that call, 713-290-1000, to speak to one of their veteran sales agents right now. They'll get you your brand new vehicle within 24 to 72 hours. They'll bring it right to your house, your office, wherever, and they'll take the trade-in as well. Make sure you tell them that Joe George sent you, because I might be even the person that drops off that brand new lease vehicle for you. Give them that call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Key from L.A., you guys always making up an excuse when one of your players sucks. Key from L.A., you're so off base. Because you're so far out. Like, we agree Bryce Matthews stinks. When have we said Bryce Matthews is good? I think the furthest we went is said Bryce Matthews can be a top 10 center fielder if he only played on the road.
Yes.
That in no way is saying Bryce Matthews good, Key from L.A. And we're not making an excuse. We're telling you the facts of the matter. This isn't even an opinion. We're telling you the facts of the matter. And Keith from L.A., you know what I am? I'm a fact-based guy. I'm a pragmatic guy. And you can catch this boot.
You are out of here.
Contaré la historia de una famosa persona. Todos la conocen con el apodo de Chona.
You can kiss my Chona. That one came up on, my Pandora. Today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was on the forefront of my mind.
Just jamming.
I make Brandon baby listen to Tejano music.
Every day?
When we're together. Okay. My wife doesn't let me listen to it. She's a gringa. But, whenever...
The music's still good, though.
She doesn't really like it.
Really?
Not really. No,
I don't understand.
I probably shouldn't out her like this, because it might make half of my family mad. No, it wouldn't make half my family mad.
And I'm Mexican.
I don't understand any of it, but it's great music.
Great music. I want Brandon baby to know his roots.
Yeah, it's bangers.
So whenever the green guy's in the vehicle, I can't listen. But whenever it's Brandon baby and I, Selena Pandora. I'm probably exposing myself as like a non-music player because I listen to Pandora and I like Spotify or Apple Music. But
Pandora's
fine. It's free and it does the job. Yeah. So. Whatever. Maybe he plays better in open-air stadiums. We know our roof never opens. That wouldn't really stick out to the home road to me. Like, to be that egregious? Like, there are some guys who do better with open-air versus roof closed, but not to this extent where the strikeout rate's so different.
And he's still going to play with some closed roofs on the road.
And
obviously, in Arlington.
His best game was Arizona.
Arizona
I think
closed.
The roof was closed that night.
Right. Probably.
It's also retracted. It was in the summer. So definitely. Had to have been hot in Arizona in the summer. So I don't put any stock in the open roof, closed roof. There's something going on at home. Maybe it's psychological. Maybe it's the extra stuff that he has to deal with at home. Maybe it's the batter's eye that there has been on record people hating.
Yeah.
especially from lefties, and Bryce faces primarily lefties. So just throwing it out there. Astros need to make that hitter's eye out there in center field. They need to study each one of their batters, figure out which average they hit the best at what fields, and then do a replica for each one of the hitters. Put a glare-free screen up back there, and then they'll feel like they're in the best part that they hit the best, and everybody hit 400.
Okay, so put a put a TV screen up there, like a frame.
Like
TV.
An LED?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
And then just every hitter just put Coors Field back there.
Yeah.
Hitting, or whatever stadium.
That'd be kind of neat.
That'd be weird, but okay.
Josh from Seabrook, I thought Keith Quitt hit this show. That's not Key. Y'all always confuse Keith from L.A. with Keith. Keith is different than Keith from L.A. They are not the same. I feel like Keith from L.A. gets ejected. It's not Keith. It's Key. Am I not making myself clear whenever I say Key?
I think you are.
Key from L.A., not Keith. It's Key, not Keith. Can we get it right?
Probably not. But
Key from L.A., not Keith from L.A. All right? We got it. So there's rumors out there that the Astros could be on in Scooble. Nightingale's still in my stuff. I had it a month ago. I had it in early June. But a lot of people, the Astros can't get Scooble. Can I tell you how they can get Scooble? Xavier Nayans, Kevin Alvarez, Spencer Arrighetti, AJ Blueball, Miguel Yolola.
Oh, boy.
And that catcher that's hitting 30 home runs.
Jeez.
Would that be enough?
Yeah.
There you go. Astros can get Scooble. I rest my case. Boom, Jeremy Branham's right.
Yeah, but do we want that?
No, absolutely not. Of course not.
I mean,
we don't want that for Reynolds, but they can do it.
Yeah, they
a lot
can.
Of people are like, oh, they can't do it. Yes, they can.
You trade six
Alvarez Nayans, the catcher that's hitting 40 home runs, Spencer Arrighetti, Miguel Yolola, AJ Blueball. There you go. It's done. They would do it today.
They probably would.
You have enough.
Yeah, they have enough if they trade everything.
They got enough.
Bob is interesting because, Bob Nightingale is, not my favorite reporter.
He steals my stuff.
He does. I do think the one team he's always been clearly connected with is the Astros. He does always seem to be right about that. So not that they're going to go trade for Scooble or anything like that. I do wonder if it's any kind of indicator that, maybe we should be expecting a bigger splash. Not a Scooble-level splash.
Crane makes splashes, man.
Now, I don't know where the,
I mean, to your point, Joe, if he has a connection and he always seems to be right on Astros stuff, that could be the Astros saying, hey, we're players. Put that out there.
Yeah.
Why would they? What's the motive doing that, though?
Because Jim Crane likes headlines and Dana Brown wants to make himself look good.
I don't think a report's a headline.
I do think, you're trying to figure out who's going to buy and who's going to sell is complicated. So, it's just a, we're going to be buyers.
I mean, Dana's flat out said that on Astros radio.
No, you're right, but.
Or yeah, to your point, Joe, maybe that just is hey, other teams that you're trying to get out of your starter, hit us up.
Yeah, they're going
to. Trying to let everyone know we're
that's
buyers.
That's dumb. Why wouldn't you just, as a general manager, call every GM?
You probably would.
Yeah, you probably should.
But also, it does get your fans excited. But
I'm not sure that it does. I'm not sure people see the Scooble report from Nightingale and get excited.
I think it's probably 50-50.
Because I posted the other day what it would take to get Scooble, and 90% of the people are like, no, that's gross. That's
but
disgusting.
That's not what Nightingale posted. Because when people just see they're interested in Scooble, they're not usually thinking about the return.
I think they do.
I don't think they're thinking of it in detail. They know it's going to take a lot.
Everything that I saw from an Astros fan whenever the Scooble report was out there, which farm team are we trading? I think that people put two and two together. Maybe I am giving people too much credit. Maybe I'm a people lover and you're a people hater. Maybe I believe the junkies are the most sophisticated listenership
in
all of Houston
sports junkies,
radio.
We're talking about
and you think that Houston sports fans are a bunch of noobs and idiots. Well, maybe that's the case.
Have you seen these Thornton takes about the Rockets?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Davis Mills takes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Ty Washington.
That's a good point. No, but
Mike Burrows is the number two.
I think people do put two and two together.
They probably do. It's a nothing report, right? But I don't think they're going to be aggressive in going to get Scooble.
I don't either.
I think they are going to try and find a big move to make if there's one to be made.
I just think it's Nightingale is in with Crane, and Crane's like, yeah, we're going to be in on everybody. That's just what we do.
And then Crane probably goes, even Scooble, and Crane goes, oh, yeah.
I mean, Crane likes the big,
he does,
sparkly there's... toy. I don't think there's a motive to that report. I think that Nightingale's mostly right with the Astros. He obviously has an in with the organization. And this has spanned multiple general managers. Mm-hmm. So he has an in with ownership somehow. And this was probably a casual conversation of like, oh, we're going to be players. We're going to be looking to buy. You're even Scoobal. Of course, we're going to kick the tires on Scoobal, right? As silly as that. I think that that's very, very plausible. Now, in terms of like any motive, is there any motive that like there's the Astros benefit from this? I don't really think so. If I were to reach and try to create one, it's like, okay, let's try to garner the interest up in Scooble, where everybody's in on Scooble, and the price goes up, and then we can go vulture like a second tier, third tier starter. That to me is like the best case motive of like leaking this to Nightingale.
Yeah.
But I don't even think it's that sinister.
I don't think that even that holds water, just because like teams wouldn't be in on Scooble unless the Astros express interest. That doesn't seem to make sense.
I mean, he's going to be, every single team's going to be calling about him.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it was a casual conversation. Hey, we're going to be buyers. Even Scooble? Yeah. You know me.
I think there is an element to Jim Crane, though, that he likes to be less vocal Jerry Jones. Like, he likes the splashy signings. He likes the headlines. So maybe it doesn't mean anything, but I could see him wanting to see the headlines, the reaction, just to feed his own ego.
Yeah, I think Freddy Peralta is a name to watch out for if they're going to be in a market for a pitcher. Like, I don't think they're going to go for a long-term guy. Like I would love Logan Webb.
No.
I don't think he'll be extra.
I don't think he'll be
future 300-game winner?
Yeah. good pull. But, like, I don't, like, think they'll trash their farm system for a move like that right now. Like, I think they're looking at a rental player that can come in and fix things. Like, I think Peralta would be, honestly, like, the way he's pitched this year hasn't been particularly good. So hopefully his value is a little bit less. But like, if you're not going to get Scooble, I think Peralta would be awesome here.
I could sell for Michael Waka Waka.
Same.
Sonny Gray?
Hell yeah, I love him.
Sonny Gray would be good.
Oxymoron Sonny Gray. I'd love to have that guy in Houston. Love that guy in Houston.
Spelled with an O.
Still oxymoron.
Yeah, just, I guess. Just because you'd say it all the time, I think I'm out.
I tweeted that like in 2022.
I know you did.
John Heyman tweeted that the other day.
That's why I know.
And I tweeted, John, you're stealing my material. And I showed him my receipt. Because I bring receipts. 713-782-7.
I remember all the nonsense that you tweet.
This memory is still trapped. You know, you know what's weird about my mind? It's a very crazy mind. Is I remember things better long term than short term. I don't remember what we did 10 minutes ago, but I remember something I tweeted 4 years ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's my ADHD.
Okay.
Sincerely. I really do.
Huh? Maybe it's CT.
I thought you said I need some tea. What kind are you offering? 713-780-3776. I don't know if you said that on air or not. Cash or trash? What are you cashing? What are you trashing? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.